she shouldn't stand on a klicheres v'titbal, meaning to say in the mikvah, to stand on a on something. Why? Savar avkan el meimar time amai mishum gzeres merchatzos. The objection is because of gzeres merchatzos. What does that mean? Tevila in a kli is pasul midoraisa. The pasuk says ach mayan avor mikvah mayim. In other words, you need ikara bekarka. And Chazal were choshesh that if she stands on a kli cheres, so then other women will come to be tovlos in merchatzos, where the water is kanas in a kli in a way that resembles this. And the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so hal gabe silsa shapir dummy. If she was to be tovelas on a silsa, on a piece of bikas shel eitz, is what Rashi says. The Rambam says it means a sal. It would be okay. Amar of Chanan min Arda, asam time amai, misham debayas. Silsa nami ba'isa. No, actually the reason why she can't be tovelas on a kli cheres is because she's afraid. It's not steady. She can tip over and fall, and she won't be tovelas properly. And likewise, the same thing is true with the silsa. So the conclusion of the Gemara seems to be, at least according to Rav Chanan min Arda, that the concern is not merchatzos, but the concern is ba'isa. The Mishnah Mikvaos addresses a similar type of issue, Parakeh, Mishnah Beis. There the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Haviro algabe kelum algabe safsal. That means that a mayan went over a kelim or a safsal. Reb Yehuda Omer Harei Hu Kemoshahai. It doesn't affect it. Reb Yossi Omer Harei Hu Kemikva. That's not our issue now in terms of one something a mayan and one is a mikvah, but the conclusion is significant. Uvilvad shelo yatpil al gabe asafsal, meaning to say that the Mishnah tells us that according to Reb Yossi, and the halacha follows Reb Yossi, that a woman cannot be toveles on a safsal. So the question is, why not? What's the reason why you can't be toveles on a safsal? So there are four interpretations of this Mishnah cited in the Beis Yosef and the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch. And this seems to be Ma'akev. So the first is the Ravid, the Rashba, and the Ran. They all say it's Gzeiras Merchatzos, and this is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch as well, meaning to say that they were Gozer on a Safsal. Why? A Safsal is Mekabel Tumah Migabo. And therefore all Kelim that are mitkabel tuma migabo, meaning to say they're roi latumas medris, like a safsal. And the concern here is, again, gzeiras mishum merchatzos, that women, if they're tovlos on top of the safsal, though midoraisa would be valid, they might come to be tovlos in merchatzos, and that would be a problem. Now, what are they saying? In other words, even though the Gemara Nida said that the reason of Rava of Merchatzos, it asked on the question, asked on Rava Imkain Hua Din Silsa, so that was the reason why, perhaps, the reason why we're not Toveles on a Klicheres is because of Ba'isa. But that doesn't mean that we're rejecting the notion of Gzeir Mishum Merchatzos entirely. No. The reason for the Mishnah in Mikvaos is because of Merchatzos. So, in the end of the day, then, when you put together the Gemara Nida plus the Mishnah Mikvaos, there are two concerns. There's Merchatzos, when it comes to something like a Safsal, and then there is the concern for Ba'isa, when it comes to something like a Silsa. That's what would come out. Now, just to clarify something, so, when it comes to Pshute Kliates, meaning to say, wooden kalim that don't have a clay kibul, they're pshute kliates. So they're not mekabel tuma, we know, at least not mekabel tuma midiraisa. There's a discussion about the Rabbanan, but they're not mekabel tuma midiraisa. That's with respect to regular forms of tuma, like maga and the like. But when it comes to medris, so there the Torah says that anything that's roila medris, meaning to say it's designated for sitting on or laying on or the like, so that is mekabel tumas medris. And that is exactly the type of object that the Mishnah here is prohibiting. So that is the pshat of the Mishnah according to the Ravid, the Rashba, and the Radim. The second pshat in the Mishnah is the Rash. This is the second pshat in the Beis Yosef, Bedasa Rash, which he prefers, which is that we're talking here about a situation where the water from the Mayan goes on top of the Kli, or on top of the Safsal. So what? It's like a Shokas. It's basically an issue of a din in Hilchos Mikvos, in Hilchos Mayan. It has nothing to do with us. But the Mishnah isn't telling you that if you have a regular mikvah with a safsal underneath the mikvah and you stand on top of the safsal, that that would invalidate the tefillah. Again, we have the issue of Ba'isa from the Gemara and Nida, but that's not what this Mishnah is talking about. In other words, there is no basis, according to this reading of the Mishnah, for any concern of chatzos. And that's why this Mishnah, the Rush clarifies, it's only when the water is not going over the tzadim, but if it is going over the tzadim, in other words, the Mayan is passing over the safsal and there's a lot of water that surrounds it, so then the Mishnah would not be relevant. Okay, the next pshat is the Rambam, at least as understood by the Beis Yosef again. And the Rambam says, according to the Beis Yosef, that you can't be tovel, agabi kalim she'en lahem beis kibul, something like a safsal, gzera atu kalim she'esh lahem beis kibul. Now what's the concern here? The Beis Yosef explains that we're concerned gzera shema yavo lahatbil betocha kli, she'esh lahem beis kibul, and you're not going to be mechalek. But if it's achorei kalim, even kalim she'esh lahem beis kibul, then lo gazrinan. What's the difference? So the Beis Yosef explains that in one case the concern exists and one it doesn't. And finally, the fourth pshat is the Rash, that they were talking about here kalim hakvuim b'mayan, and they were gozel lahatbil al gabeihem, and it relates again to dinei mikvos. We're concerned that in the gap from the mayim there won't be shvofaris hanod, and the mayim will be over al gabei asaf salim, and that's why if it's, for example, kalim that are tlushim, right, it would certainly be no problem. Good. So lahalacha, what do we paskin like? So lahalacha, we paskin basically the Shulchan Aruch that there's two concerns, right? The first is merchatzos, and that's because, like we said, we accept the pshat of the Ravid Rashbaran. So anything that they were gozer not to stand on kalim, and that's gzeresh mishum merchatzos, and that passes even bidi eved, right? You had midoraisa, you can't be tovel in the kli, and they were gozer that you can't stand on top of the kli, but they were only gozer on things that are makabel tuma, and not every type of kabbalas tuma were they gozer on, only something that is makabel tuma al yedei negia satuma begabo or medris. So therefore, you could stand on a upside down kli cheres. Why? Because we know kli cheres is not mekabel tuma al gabo, right? The only way kli cheres is mekabel tuma is, let's say, the sheretz goes into the kli cheres. Its inside has kabbalas tuma. So if you stepped on an upside down kli cheres in the mikvah, that would not be invalid based off of the Mishnah in mikvahs. So then the only concern would be what? What the Gemara says, Anida, the concern of Ba'isa, of falling. And then we have, again, the second concern, which is when you have something high, Davar Gavoa, so then we're concerned that she's going to be afraid to fall off. And the difference between these two concerns is the first concern is Posel B'diavet, even though it's a Gzeira, but Chachamim were Hamidu Divrayim, so if you stood on something that was Mekabel Tama, Migabo, like a chair, so then it would invalidate the tefillah b'diavad. But if you were to step on a upside down kli cheres or a log or something like that, so then it would not be mekabel tuma migabo. So it would be possible only midra, it would be aser midrabanan to do this, but b'diavad the tefillah would be valid. That's basically what the Shulchan Aruch says. And now what we have to do, take your questions first, but is turn to the issue that the Nosei Kelo and the Shulchan Aruch deal with, and that is that the common practice of the mikvahs, at least in the olden days, which was that they had nisarim, they had some types of planks or boards, and they would be tovel on them. And is that okay, or is that not okay? But first, yeah, Mark.
Why is it zera and not on kli cheres? Is it because havmina, was that only on kli
cheres? So it's an interesting question. First of all, we don't know his havmina was only kli cheres. He already knew what it said in the Mishnah, presumably, right? So the question is, maybe, you know, is that din in the Mishnah extended even to kli cheres? Now, why kli cheres? Either because it is mekabel tum in some form, just not migavo, right? So the gzeir would apply. Or, like Rashi explains on that Gemara, that there was something particular about kli cheres that made us concerned that it would lead to issues in merchatzos because it resembled something that they had in merchatzos. Yeah, but we know that's wrong because if the Gemara says that's true, then bikas would be okay, and silsa would be okay, and silsa is also a problem. So therefore, we're forced to conclude that it's because of the gzeira you might fall. So the concern atu merchatzos only applies for things that are makabel tumah because those are more likely to lead to a situation where you would be tovel in the kli in the merchatzos. According to this approach, is it a halachic similarity? Maybe. Okay, people knew the laws of tumah and tara, and there was a concern that, you know, by false extrapolation, you would think that if you could be tovel as on top of a bench, you could be tovel in a kli. But that concern did not exist for on top of an upside down kli cheres, because everybody knows that it's not makabel tumah miyal gabo and not tumas medrus and the like. So people wouldn't make that jump. Right? It's an easy jump to make if you know a tarus. Good. So now we have, yeah.
How do we know that the problem by Merchatz is because it's a kli, not minor shulman?
Isn't that what the Mefarshim say? At least that's what...
Rashi and the Gemara Nida does.
What does Rashi and Gemara Nida say? Oh, I even brought my Gemara Nida. I didn't even mean to. Look at that. What hashkacha. Let's look.
He doesn't
say
anything.
He didn't
tell you to Merchatz, it sounds like.
Right. So the Mefarshim say that the concern is what I said. I remember who says that. But other Mefarshim give that explanation.
It would seem clear you'd have to say something like that for the Rebbe because he still sued the Mishnah Mikvos.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that, like, the Mishnah Mikvos even mentioned Rashi. Like, you know, it would seem to come out that the Rush apparently in his Perush also on the Gemara there in Nida says like Rashi, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, but like, so there seems to be my focus exactly what the Zera was, but Rebbe didn't mention at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So what about these boards? What about these boards, these nesarim? So, pshute kliates, we know, are not makabel tuma, but like we said, they are ra'oi lakabel tumas medris, if nesiachadu lakach. And therefore, the mechaber over here writes that nesarim, that are ra'uyin lamidrasos, meaning to say that they were royal kabel tumas medrash because they were nesiachadu and medrash ha'adam, are a problem. That's what the Mechaber paskins, and this makes sense. This is based off of the Rashba, but it makes sense according to that interpretation in Rishonim, right? So the Rashba writes, it's a Tshuva Sarashba that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting, that a mikvah that has shlivos, which seem to be steps made out of wood, im tavla gabe ha shlivos, then, and the Ramah here adds, even if they're mechubar, we're going to talk about that in a moment, even if they're mechubar, lo also lo tvila, because they're pshutei kli eitz. Okay, so what do? You should have the steps made out of stones, and they should also be very wide, so that people won't be afraid of falling. So what do we do? L'maisa, that many mikvos in those days clearly had these types of nisarim. So the Shach quotes the Lavush, that was very upset about this and argued that the mikvos that many people use are psulon. So when somebody starts claiming a mikvah is pasul, then it's a mitzvah to come to the defense of the mikvah. So the Shach comes to the defense of the minug, Shach the Sisifkan Memhei, and he writes, no, it's no problem. They're not makabel tuma. It's only for nisarim. What is the Shulchan Aruch talking about? Nisarim sheshtamshu behem liyeshiva o shchiva, that's makabel tuma. It's not like the pshat that they went ahead and they took boards that were used for benches or beds, and then they went ahead and they put them on the bottom of the mikvah, or for steps. And therefore, this is okay, even if they're not kvuim, because they weren't designated for medras. And then he writes, what about if you were koveya the karka afterwards? So then he writes, in other words, let's say you did go ahead and you took a bench that was, you know, or a board that was used for a bench, and then you nailed it into the floor of the mikvah. So that would be a problem. That's what the Bach writes. Because once yarda lahem taras kabbalas tuma, it's not, doesn't go away just because you were koveyat bekarka. The Bach writes that, and the Shach sifkat mem aleph seems to accept that. And that's why the Ramah writes over here, afilu mechubarim. In other words, what's Mechaber talking about? Mechaber is talking about a case where you actually had boards that were designated for, let's say, yeshiva or shchiva. Those are a problem. And the Ramah adds, even if they're nailed in, because nailing them into the ground isn't mevatel Torah shchiva, similar to the sugya of Talish v'sol chibro. And that's why it's a problem. But if tchilas yichudan was to use them as the steps for the mikvah, or certainly l'kvoa osan bekarka, which is the case, right? What happens? They take wood. They go, you know, when you're building a mikvah, you go to the lumber yard, you buy some wood, chop some wood, whatever it is, for the mikvah, and then you nail it in. So those are no problem whatsoever. That's what the Shach writes. And the Shach writes that even the Mechaber would agree to this. Now, you could ask, if the Mechaber would agree to this, then why did the Mechaber write, you should get stones? Right? Why didn't he just write, you should get nisarim that were not previously designated lemedris and use those? So it's a difficulty. The Shach is moda that there will be some machmirim on this question, because there are those who say that pshutei kli eitzim are makabel tuma d'rabbanan, or because stam eitzim are omed lemedris. But he thinks that though there are some machmirim, rov poskim are mekel, and therefore you do not have to invalidate mikvos. And not only do you not have to invalidate mikvos, but if you have a mikvah, you shouldn't fix it. Why? What's wrong with that? Shelo lahotzi lazal rishonim. Since rov poskim say this is okay, it's only going to be a problem if they were initially designated for medrash. So typically that's not the case. You don't have to go around posseling the mikvahs. But he says, if you're building a new mikvah, okay, you may as well build it, you know, liyas or se'es, with all the hidurim you can. So since the levush is machmir, and as he notes, there are those that might be machmir because shutei kli eitzim makabel tuma d'rabbanan, or because since it's minastam omed lemedrash or the like, so building a new mikvah, great. Use stones. But if you have a pre-existing mikvah with boards, don't fix it. Leave it as it is. That's what the Shach says. Okay, what about the Taz? So to understand the Taz, we have to go back to the four pshatim that we said in the Rishonim as to why you can't be tovel on the safsal. So again, according to the Ravid, it's because of Kabbalah's Tumah, that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz writes that in Achanami, what we have the practice to do, our mikvos that have these nisarim, is against the Ravid, and against the Rashpa, and against the Shulchan Aruch. because according to their position, you don't need yichud lemedras in order to be pasul. Right? Minas dam nisar mar problem, which is why the Shulchan Aruch says that the only eitz is going to be what? Getting stones. So how does the taz justify the minug? The answer is that because according to many Rishonim, that isn't true. First of all, the simple reading of the Gemara Nida is against the Ravid Rash Baran. Simple reading of the Gemara Nida is that Lamaskana Sagamara, there is no concern of Merchatzos, and that's what would come out from the interpretation of the Mishnah of the Rush and the Rush. Right? According to the Rush, it's possible because the Mayim is going on top of the Kli. Obviously, that's not relevant in the Mikvah with Nisarim. And according to the Rush, that we're talking about Kalim that are Kavuinim and Amayan, so also not relevant. So therefore, the Taz basically says that even though the Mechaber is so same, Lahachmir, like the Ravid and the Rashba, but we don't follow that. We don't follow that view. And the truth is, even though he's so same Lahachmir and Sif Lamed Aleph, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the way he paskins. Why? Because in Sif Lamed Beis, we'll see, he paskins like the Rush. Right? So therefore, the minhag is to be Mekel, and basically not to be choshesh for Sif Lamed Aleph, and therefore they're kosher, even if they're not kavua. Right? So again, sort of to summarize the Shachan Ataz, the Shachan Ataz both reject the Lavush shried about the contemporary mikvos. The Shachan Ataz both said they're okay, but for different reasons. According to the Shach, they're kosher, even according to the Shulchan Aruch, though we noted it's a little bit dochak to read that into the Shulchan Aruch. And according to the Taz, it's possible according to the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed Aleph, but we're not choshish halacha l'maisa for the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed Aleph, because as we noted, there's so many other ways to read that Mishnah and Mikvos, like the Rash and the Rash. Okay, that's Sif Lamed Aleph. Sif Lamed Beis. So, a silon is like a tzinor, it's a pipe. So if you have a tzinor shel eitz that's kavua in the karkayis beis hatfila, to bring water from one place to another. So if it doesn't have a levaz vase, meaning to say it only has a lip on two sides, so that it's not a base kibul, right? It's like a pipe, right? A straight pipe has no base kibul. You can't keep water in a pipe. So then it's not a kabel tumah because it's pshute kliyates, and it's mutar litvol olav. Right? And again, we must be talking about a case where the concern of falling doesn't apply, either because it's wide or because it's close to the ground or the like. But why is this not a problem? What's the difference between Sif Lamed Aleph and Sif Lamed Beis? Because the way the Shach would say it is because Sif Lamed Beis is not Nisyach Du Lamedris, right? Because it's not meant for sitting on, it's a pipe. And the Taz told you that that's because Sif Lamed Beis is the Shulchan Aruch is being so seem like who? The Rush. Right?
How does that really answer the question? There's still a steer
in the Hanami, the... It's... I don't know. Is... is the Taz basically saying that the Mechaber is sort of quoting various opinions and not being Machriya, or being Machriya Lahakel, I don't know. Right? That's definitely a difficulty in the Taz. Right? In that sense, the Shach's reading is a lot smoother.
Because then it would be okay with the Evet.
Or the Shach would be saying, this. The reason why this is fine L'chatchila is because it's not Kavua L'Medras. And the Mechaber is only Machmir when it's Kavua L'Medras. Even the Ravid is only Machmir when it's Kavua L'Medras. This would be kosher even according to the Ravid, right? In other words, according to Shach, the Mechaber is passing like the Ravid, and Sif Lamed Beis is consistent with the Ravid. According to the Taz, Sif Lamed Aleph is like the Ravid, Sif Lamed Beis is like the Rush.
You can't say that it's
Mechaber. And we pass him like the Rush.
It's the Ravid and Lamed Aleph, because that's like the Ravid. So that's what you're asking.
I didn't understand. It sounds like, according to the Taz, it seems like it's a stira, right? Okay. Sif Lamed Gimel. The Gemara Nida Samach Zayin Amud Aleph says, Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Isha Lo Tidbol B'Namal. Afal Gav Dashta Leka. In other words, she doesn't see any mud on her legs, on her feet. Obviously, in a Namal, there is more of a concern with mud, right? Because everybody's stomping around and pulling up their boats and things like that. So it's much more muddy than the regular seashore. So even though she looks at herself after the tefillah and she sees that her legs and her feet are clean, Emar Birdione Nafal, maybe that fell off afterwards after she left the mikvah, or partially left the mikvah, and therefore it's a problem with the tefillah. So that's what the Gemara says. We're choshish for tit. Now, the Rishonim all ask, one second, isn't this contradicting the idea by Mita, where we say that you could be tovel amita in the mikvah, and not only that, but even if the mikvah is too tall, because the bottom of the legs of the mikvah go into the floor of the mikvah, such that the top of the bed is now covered, so you see over there that mud isn't a problem. So there's a number of resolutions in the Rishonim to answer this. We're not going to go into the details here. But Bekitzer, the Ravid and the Rush both understand, based off of the Mishnah, that the problem of Tvila is because of Tit, in terms of Namal. And there is, in fact, a Tit problem. What about Mita? So the Rush says that you'll have to say for Rashi that when it comes to people, there's more of a concern. Why? People are heavier than beds, right? We're not talking about like a heavy metal bed that you might have in your own house. In those days, as you know from the Masechta Shabbos, beds were pretty light and flimsy, and it's probably even they probably all floated. It was hard to get them into the mikvah. So the point is that according to the Beis Yosef's Yishuv Rashi, since a person is heavy, there's more of a concern that mud will get stuck and be ma'akev bias mayim, and that's why a person can't be tovel in a namal, but we have no problem being tovel the bed in a place where it's going to get sink into the mud. And that's what the Ravid says in the second pshat, that the that's ikar, that ragle adam are more of a problem. Okay, now the Rush writes, this is a bad answer, because even for people we have the principle of mayim makdimin. Now this is, if you remember, the machlokas between the Rashba and the Mishmeres Habayis and the Rambam that we had back in Sif Chaf Ches. Right? Remember over there, the Rashba, at least in Mishmeres Habayis, that the Taz and the Shach quoted, held that that we're concerned about Dibuk Chazak, right? That when you have Dibuk Chazak, then even though it was first wet, that doesn't solve the problem, right? So, over here, and that's what the Rush says, no, it's not true. So what comes out then, Lamaisa, is like this. According to the Rush, at least this is the way the Taz understood him, the Taz in Simen Kuf Chaf, the Rush learns like the Rambam and the Ramban, that my makdimin works even for Dibuk Chazak, or even wet first would work for Dibuk Chazak, and Rashi learns like the Rashban and the Mordechai, that my makdimin doesn't work for Dibuk Chazak. Now, why are we only concerned about Namal then? Right? This we talked about last time. In other words, you don't have to pick up your legs normally. So you have to say it's Dibuk Benoni. Which one is it? So you have to say no, that Dafka by Tit, we don't say my makdimin. I think that's what you'd have to say according to the Taz's Cheshbon. At least certain types of thick tit, due to the heavy pressure of her weight and the stickiness of the tit, even though you have mamish my makdimin, right? Meaning to say, she doesn't like slide into the mikvah, right? She goes through the water before she gets to the tit. But that dibuk is so strong that, at least according to the Rashman and Mordechai, it would invalidate the mikvah, even if you have invalidate the tefillah, even if you have mayim makdimin. And again, this is the view that the Rush and many other Rishonim disagree with. And they say, no, my makdimin always works. And therefore, the problem cannot be like Rashi says in terms of namo with the tit. Okay. Now, the Ravid answers the question with really two possibilities. The first possibility is that the port, the namo, is the banks are muddy, like Rashi notes, the boats there are pulled up and pulled back out of the mud. So the Ravid's first explanation would be that the concern is that your feet would get muddy before she enters the water. In other words, if you actually had Mayim Makdimin, let's imagine our mikvos, right? But they had a muddy floor. So in our mikvos, it is a muddy floor, but not muddy steps, right? So not muddy path. So your feet don't get muddy until after you get down to the bottom of the mikvah. So according to that first explanation of the Ravid, it would be okay, right? As Mayim Makdimin works always, even Dibuk Chazak. But the concern by the Namal is you don't have Mayim Makdimin. Why don't you have Mayim Makdimin? Because before she gets into the mikvah, her feet are dirty, right? What does she do? She takes off her shoes by the banks of the river. She walks into her lake or whatever, her ocean. She walks into it, and before she gets in, her feet are already dirty, so you don't have Mayim Makdimin. And therefore, since it's not Rafui, it's Aser. The second shot is in the Ravid, and this is also the answer of the Ran, is like we said, that the people feet are different and worse. Now the Beis Yosef says that's not a good shot. We always say Mayim Makdimin, but the Ravid second answer, the Ran hold, no, that due to the lachat, this is the Machzah Shekel explains it, due to the lachat, due to the pressure, there is a situation like this where Mayim Makdimin doesn't work. Okay, as we noted before, the Shach assumes we're talking here about tit ava. Stam tit is different, as we noted in Sif Yodalad. So stam tit you could be make on. Also, the Shach notes that Lamaisa most Rishonim don't learn like Rashi and Ravid that the problem of Namal isn't tit. And therefore, according to their view, presumably, my Makdimin would work even for a Titayaven and work in all situations. L'chora. The Dagomir Vava writes over here that Al Kopanim Tzrichalag Bia Ragleha, like the Shach said in Zifkat and Mem, and also the Mechaber over there. Now, that's a little bit difficult because that's only according to the second answer of the Shach. But according to the first answer of the Shach over there, that wouldn't be true. And we noted that the first answer in the Shach last time was really what corresponds to the Rashba. Okay. Good. So Sif Lamed Hei through Lamed Tes, we already did way back when, a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, I don't even remember. So Sif Mem. So it says over here that you have to have a mikvah attendant who is a Jewish mikvah attendant and an adult, Yehudis Gedola. Why? So take a look at the Gra over here, Sif Katan Memhei. De Bedavar de Ischazik Isura, Eno Nemana Katan, Afilu Midrabanan. In other words, why do you need a Gedola? Why not a Ktana? Since it's Ischazik Isura, a Ktana is not needed, even for something that's Dirabanan. So the problem with this gra is that l'chora this is a din d'oraisa, right? Why does he say d'rabbanan? Rav Moshe asked this question in one of those long tshuvos in Chelek Aleph at Simen Kuf Hei. The Kolbo, by the way, quoted by the Beis Yosef, also sounds a little bit like the Gra, because the Kolbo writes, Avalo Gaya, Hoel Vischazik Yisura. And L'chora, if it's lowest chazik, even if it's lowest chazik Yisura, Gaya should be believed, right? So it must be that he's treating it as a Dirabanan. For Dirabanan, lowest chazik Yisura, there are certain cases where we bite or makeo for dinim Dirabanan, like Mesiach Lefituma or the like. In other words, if it was a din d'oraisa, then a Gaya would never be believed. So from the Kolbo and the Gra, it sounds a little bit like this is a din d'rabanan, which is interesting. Now, the question is then, why? Why would this be true? Why would it only be d'rabanan? So maybe mid'oraisa, the pshat is, that she's nemenis to say that all of my hair went under, and there's no chshash on a d'oraisa level. But that's not so simple either. Because l'maisa, even midrabanan, if she says bevados, all my hair went under, she's believed, right? This din in this sif is not a dina de gemara, as far as I know, right? And like the Shulchan Aruch writes, that if there's nobody to watch her, there are different etzos, different things you could do to make sure that you know with certainty that all your hair went under. So l'maisa, then this halacha is only said when there's some level of concern. And once there's some level of concern, then why are we treating this d'oraisa, d'rabanan? It should be really d'oraisa. So, I don't know, maybe you're forced to say that we're talking about a case where there's no chshash on a d'oraisa level, right? In a chanami. If she could say 100% sure that all of my hair was under the water, you don't even need it, midrabanan, right? We're talking about a case here where, you know, we're very confident her hair went under, and therefore midaraisa, she wouldn't have to be choshashes, and that's when they were misakein, but you should still have a mikvah attendant watch you. And then, that's where the Gra says, well, since this isn't a deraisa choshash, you might have thought that a katana should be okay. And he says, no, since it's a schazek yisura, it's a problem, right? That's basically perhaps the analysis of the Gra. Perhaps. But if she really was uncertain, then obviously midoraisa would be an invalid tefillah. Now, what if you didn't do this? In other words, you didn't have a mikvah attendant. So the Ravid, quoted by the Torah, sounds like lo also la tvila, right? Because what did the Ravid say? The Lashon over there in the Torah is v'aravid kasav, im karcha se'ar rosha v'davar she'enu chotzitz v'chutei se'ar v'tavla bein atzma also la tvila. Implying that if she didn't sort of wrap up her hair, then it would be ma'akev. And that's the Pesach of Rabbi Kivager quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva. The Sidrei Tara writes, we call makom nira dafka b'isha she'en ezriza u'behula b'mayim. Aval hecha shezriza v'ena nefhalas b'mayim v'tafsa sa'ara b'yada ad shamayim olim heitev al rosha v'az pascha yadeha havi shapir tefilu v'shasat chak yecholu l'smoch al zeh. So that's the halacha l'maisa. Meaning to say, you should always try to be tovelis with a mikvah lady. If there's no mikvah lady, so you could use a loose hair net. If there's no loose hair net, so then you could do what the Sidrei Tara says, which is to sort of use your hands, or again, presumably anything that would allow her to know that she's 100% underwater, right? If her hair is, you know, 8 inches long, and she goes down to the bottom of the mikvah, and, you know, she's not in a funny position, and, you know, she touches her chin to the bottom of the mikvah, so I think we could be 100% certain that there's no hair sticking up on the top. She has to make sure her toes aren't sticking out at that point. But the point is that l'chora, though again, obviously, we do prefer having someone watch, this is not a dina de gemara, and it's not a chok v'lo yavor. The point is that we need absolute certainty, 100% certainty, that she was entirely under all at once. And because hair, unless you're really deep underwater, or you have really short hair, it's impossible to really know that with 100% certainty. So that's why the practice is to have a mikvah lady. But again, if you were ever really stuck, then you couldn't. Okay, we also saw the Rishonim and Poskim discuss whether your husband could watch you if there's no other choice, and the like. Fine. Sif Mem Beis. Yeah. Sounds like from the Gra says, the Gra writes, why isn't a, sounds like he's saying, you know, the reason why Katan isn't, net, we know you could rely on a Katan for Dindarabanan de Lois Chazik Yisura. So the Gra sounds like he's saying, well, since it's Chazik Yisura, then you can't rely on a Katan. So our question was, why does he say Drabanan? This is Deraisa. The answer that we suggested was that we're talking here about a Chshash Drabanan. In other words, she's pretty confident she went under, but still, in the Drabbanan were choshes, maybe one hair was sticking out. So that's what we said. If you're 100% certain, it would still be okay. That was our theory in the Gra. Without the Gra, I would have just said, this is a Din D'oraisa whenever there's a chshash, and when there's no chshash, it's okay even with Drabbanan. But either way, it really comes out the same way. Yeah?
What ends up being the Din if she goes to Mikvah without a Mikvah?
So, if there's any... If she can't say reasonably, I'm 100% certain, then I don't know. It sounds like we would hold that it's makif, like the Pashas and the Ravid, and like Rebbe Kivegar quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva. I assume we pass in that way. But my point is, if she could say with 100% certainty, and like in a way that makes sense, not like, well, no, I didn't go so deep under, but I know like my hair doesn't float. I don't know, but if right, that's the point. But if she says I know, and we ask her how did she know, and she said because I held my hair down with my hands, like the Sidrei Torah says, or because I dove down to the bottom of the mikvah, so then we would say it's fine.
You let go eventually. Meaning you just have to hold.
He says you hold it down till you're under, and then you let go. That's what he says. Usually, anyway, it'll be roughly. But no, what the Sidrei Torah says is you hold your hair down, you go underwater, then you let go, then you're guaranteed that you're going to be okay. Fine. Sif Mem Beis. So the Tosefta writes, Nichnas Utsroes V'Kisman V'Sidkei Raglav Milamata. So if you have like stones or things that go in, I imagine that we're talking here about cracks in the feet, right? I actually have cracks in my feet. You know, sometimes there are these cracks in your skin and your feet, it hardens and the like. So some stones go in there, right? Especially if you walk around barefoot or your house is unpaved or whatever. It's a very common occurrence. So Rabbi Akiva Omer Eino Chotzitz Mipnei Shuka Beis Astar. So still Rabbi Akiva says it's okay. Why? Don't you still need Raila B'Asmaim? I don't know. Maybe he'll say, like Rav Moshe, that this isn't loose. It's not Nisrach. Not clear. But the Rambam says the exact opposite of the Tosafta. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, writes, Nechnesu Troros V'Kismin B'Sidkei Raglav Milamata Chotzitzin. So the Beis Yosef is astonished. What is the Rambam doing, being going against a straightforward Tosafta and Rabbi Akiva? So first he answers, a very interesting methodological point, which is maybe since the Tosefta said it as a Lashon Yechida, right? It just says Rabbi Akiva says it's okay. Now, there's no machlokas there. It doesn't say the Chachamim Osrim, right? It just says Rabbi Akiva says it's okay. But if you have a statement in the Tosefta of a Stam Tana without any arguing, the implication is that the Chachamim disagree. So that's where the Rambam came from. Since the Tosefta just said Rabbi Akiva says it's okay, so the Rambam was medayik. Ah, mashma that the Chachamim disagree. So again, interesting question. If that's we always say that, would we say that for Mishnayos or not? I don't know. Something to think about when you encounter that that type of formulation in Tanaic literature. If you look though at the Gra, He gives a different explanation. The Mechaber Paskins like Rambam, Lachumra. The Gra gives a different explanation. And also, actually, the Beis Yosef himself gives the same explanation in the next Sif on Mem Gimel. And that is the following. The pshat is that Rabbi Akiva is following the opinion that you don't need ra'oi l'bias mayim in Beis Hasdarim. Right? Look, actually, at the lashon of the Tosefta sort of sounds that way. The Tosefta was Rabbi Akiva omer eino chotzitz mivneishu k'beis hasdarim. So what does that mean, mivneishu k'beis hasdarim? In Beis Hasdarim, we don't care. We don't need ra'oi l'bias mayim. In fact, it's over here, if you take a look, the Gra writes, tzifkat mem tes, that the Tosefta perches, nichnesu tzroros v'kismen v'sidke raglov, milamata, Rabbi Akiva omer eino chotzitz mivneishu k'beis hasdarim, mesham, go on in the Tosefta. Isblanis melugma viritia shag beis astarim. If you have some type of bandage in the beis astarim, Rabbi Omer chotzitz. Rabbi says it's a chatzitza. Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer eno chotzitz. Umashma, to Rabbi Akiva azel b'shitas Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, aval anan, kaimalan k'rabbi. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is being so same like the view of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, later on in the Tosefta, that says that you could also have a bandage in your mouth. Why could you have a bandage in your mouth? Because of what? Because you don't need Royal B.S. Mayim. But we, of course, paskin like Rabbi, like the story of his Shifra, right? We paskin that in Beis Hasdarim you need Royal B.S. Mayim, in which case the stones that are in the cracks of the feet are a problem. And that's why the Mechaber paskins, the Mechaber in Mem Gimel, who paskins that isplanis is a problem, paskins in Mem Beis that the stones are a problem. Right? So that's the pshat. That's the pshat in this halacha. So in other words, again, how did the Rambam know? What was Beis Yosef's question? Why did the Rambam not paskin like the Tosefta and Rabbi Akiva? The answer is very simple, because Rabbi Akiva was going like the opinion that you don't need Rai L'Bias Mayim, and we paskin that you do need Rai L'Bias Mayim. And then you'd have to say, if you accept Rav Moshe that we're talking about here, that it is Mistabech, right? Yes?
I think this is right against Rav Moshe, because a bandage is not a tool.
It's not true. I don't know, how are you going to get a bandage onto your mouth? I'm not sure. If you put a Band-Aid in your mouth, it's probably not going to stick. So the answer is you're going to have to use glue or some, you're going to have to figure out some way to make it stick, right? And then it would be like the, it would be mistabich, right? How is it possible? It's possible. Ask a dentist. Okay. Fine. So, Sif Mem Gimel. This is, yes?
We were wondering during Seder what, how this would be a kasha under Moshe when he was talking about making new bases of sarim other than the ones that are naturally natural to the human body. They then by those bases of sarim, there's no din of needing royal bias mind. So this.
Wait, what?
He was talking. I think it was on above. He was talking about the cavity. So the fissure in the tooth itself is a new basis of sarim. He said that doesn't need royal. I feel royal bias mind because it's not.
Yeah, so you're saying that theory goes against this idea of the crack, unless you're born with cracks in your feet. Saying stomach, these cracks in the feet develop over time, and so you're saying that's a Aaron Rav Moshe that newly created basis times. I don't know. Yeah.
Does that can just mean like between your toes? Is that possible?
Well, that's not going to be basis darim. You're saying maybe it is because your toes are all like stuck together usually. Nichlas Rosh Hashem b'Sidkei Raglav. I don't know. Sidkei Raglav doesn't sound like Bein Etzbos. Sidkei to me, Sidkei Raglav sounds like there are cracks in your skin. You're saying that Rav Moshe could say it means between your toes. Maybe I don't know. Doesn't I hear? Okay. Sif Mem Gibel. We got to finish. So the Rama writes over here that Tzricha Livdok Atzma B'gdolim V'ktanim, she has to check herself, she needs to go to the bathroom before she goes to the mikvah. Why? Shem Tzricha Latzor Atzma Eina Re'uyim Levesa V'yas Mayim. Now, this halacha is extraordinarily perplexing. Rav Moshe calls it a chida stuma be'en poter. So, let's try to understand it to the best that we can. So where's the source for this? It comes from the Darkei Moshe, Sifkan Beis and Simon Kuf Tzadi Tess. You see, we're already starting Kuf Tzadi Tess. We're already halfway done. Now, what does it say over there? It quotes, I assume everybody's already started Kuf Tzadi Tess, but if you haven't, you should start very soon. It says over there in the Darkei Moshe from the Shari Dura, Isha Shetzricha Lahatil Mayim Kodim Shetovelas Im Yitzricha Kidemasek Perk Yotze Dofen Gabe Zava Shenakru Meme Ragleha V'yard of Atavla Mahu Teku. Okay. Now, this is a very strange idea. And, in fact, the Darkei Moshe continues, quoting Rav Avadya's, making the obvious point. The kasavti lo, vani tama be'enai, im yatza zem mipia ga'onim me'olam, debayahi mishum ayanos hazav, ulinian taros. Look at that gemara that they're quoting. It has nothing to do with dinei chatzitzos. It's talking about mayanos hazav. The question over there is, when exactly does the urine become, in other words, mayanos hazav, when does that apply? So is it mekabel tuma when it's released or when it leaves the body? Right? The nafkamina is if she goes to the mikvah in the interim, right? If it only becomes tuma tame when it leaves the body, so then that may raglayim that is released from the body after she went to the mikvah, but was released, I don't know exactly how to explain the metzias, I don't know, released from the bladder before she went to the mikvah, but didn't leave the body yet. Okay, everybody who was at Dr. Chadnov's lecture yesterday must know what we're talking about. Anyway, so I don't know what Akiras Meir Aglaim corresponds to in physiologically, but apparently there's some step in between, right? So that's Akasha. You know, does this have the din of Mayanos Hazav or not? Right? That's the Gemara Shaila. It has nothing to do with Tfilas Kalim, Tfilas Isha. Right? So that's what the Rama quotes from Rav Avadya, right? These Gaonim who said this, how could they have said this? They seem to have been totally misunderstanding the Gemara. Aval Eino Nesers Mishum Zela Baila, Vimishum Shetzricha LaTzoratzma, The Lo Ye'oso Makom Rai L'Bias Mayim, Ein Raya, now that's the question here, what's the girsa? But it says, Ein Raya Mikam Tzasfasa. And the Rama writes, you should say, instead of Ein Raya, you should say Raya. In other words, what he's saying is like this. The source from the Gemara on Daf Mem Gimel is totally irrelevant. But if you want to bring a Raya for this halacha, we'll bring a different Raya. What's the raya? Kam tzasif soseha. Now, if you actually look up the Shari Dura, it's not even clear that anyone said this, because it says over there, lenakos es atzma b'mayim gedolim, b'makom gedolim uv'makom ketanim, u'lahasir tzorah me'achotem. But let's assume for a moment, like the Darkei Moshe, that there is a makor for this halacha. So, again, according to the Ravan, that's really the earliest source. If you look at the Ravan, it's worth looking up inside. So according to Ravan, the source for this, let's take one step back. So this halacha in the Rama has two possible sources, right? So we're going to analyze each one on its own and see what they tell us. Source number one that the Ravan quotes is the Gemara in Nida Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph by Zava Shenakru Meimei Ragleha, the Yard of Atavla, and the Gemara over there says it's a teku. That's what the Ravan writes, Simen Shin Chaf Vav. Now, the Pashtus is, as we noted, that this Gemara has nothing to do with us at all. And that's what the Rav Avadya, quoted in the Hagos Shari Dura, asks on the Ravan. If you look at the Gra, he also asked this question. Seems like they must have had some other understanding of the Gemara. We just don't know what it would be. because according to the understanding of the Gemara that we have, it doesn't serve as the basis for this halacha. So perhaps they had some other explanation. Rav Moshe has a whole pilpul. He writes, "Mechrachim anu shelo lasos harishonim ketoim," right? You know, like Rav Avadia claims that the Ravan was just misunderstanding the Gemara. We can't say that. So he has a whole pilpul in the Gemara that to explain why that would be a raya. Basically, he says that even they understood the Gemara the way we understood the Gemara, but there, so it's not a direct raya, but it's dependent on the same shaila, because if you're going to say that meraglayim are not considered akurim, because you could still hold it in, so then it's kegufa, and it will be revise, and it will not be chotzeitz. But after akira, if we think that it's like yatsu migufa, so then they're not shaykh to the guf anymore, and it's not like revise, and it's going to be chotzeitz. Ayin sham. Here's a whole pilpul to be miyashev, the kashas that they have. No, you have to say, this is a difficulty, that it's not. Okay. As we've noted before, where to draw the line between outside and beis astarim and baluas is hard to know. Fine. But again, I don't even know where this urine is exactly. That's nekar, but not yet coming out of the body.
Doesn't everyone say, though, even in that Gemara, that she doesn't become tamei until it leaves the body, though? Even if it...
That's a different issue. That's why the Gemara there is talking about the Mayanos.
Right, but if it doesn't tamei until it leaves, then it's balua.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, because there's no nest. There's not necessarily chibor to the rest of the mikvah. In other words, that's because of hashaka, but there's no hashaka over here, I would guess. Okay, the second possible source for this is what the Rambam quotes, which is kamtsa sifsoseha. Now, the problem here is that this raya seems to be assuming that she has to open her mouth, right? In other words, remember we saw two explanations last time how to read that halacha of why kamtsa sifsoseha has a problem. Is it because she needs raya l'bias mayim and therefore she has to open her mouth so water could get into her mouth, in which case we're saying a similar raya over here, that if she tightens herself to hold in her urine, so then if she tightens herself, so then that is that's a problem because it's no longer Raila Bias Mayim. But if that's true, then it shouldn't be relevant for us, because we passed in that you don't need water to be able to get in. You just need no actual chatzitzos, right? You could be tovales with your lips closed. The only concern with puckering your lips too tightly is the part of your lips that are outside of your mouth. But l'chora over here, it's beis hastarim. Unless you're going to say that that we're talking about over here something that's outside of the beis hastarim, right? So that's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe says you have to say l'chora m'chrach and lomar shum itzad sh'alidei hatzira yesh lachosh t'tikmo t'sifsei ha'nekavim yosem ha'roi shumakom ha'galui. Now, again, I don't know how this corresponds to any metzias that we are aware of. I guess we should have asked Dr. Shadnoff yesterday, right? There are three sets of muscles that are involved in urination, like we heard yesterday. Like every time you look at the metzias in these things, it's mamish nisim v'neflos. It's really the godless habore is overwhelming. But anyway, there are three sets of muscles used in urination. The most external one are the pelvic floor muscles, and it's very hard to imagine that the pelvic floor muscles are not a beis hastarim, but Rav Moshe writes, that's the only possible way to explain the Ramah. In other words, that somehow or another, when you hold yourself in for Gdolim or Ketanim, there's some exposed area of your body that's being scrunched up and therefore not allowing Bias Mayim. That's the only way to explain this Ramah. Okay, so what does that mean, Halach L'maisa? So L'maisa, obviously, L'chatchila, we do what the Ramah says in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Shach already points out this isn't Ma'akev. If she's Tavla, she's Mutares. There are some Achronim, like the Marsham, who writes that if she Mamish had to go when she was Mamish holding it in, it is Ma'akev. But even so, that would only be if she's like really like Rav Moshe described, she's straining herself or the like to hold it in, and the like. All this is from Rav Moshe, by the way, Yoredei Chelek Aleph Simin Kuf, as we've seen already. Now, one last point here, and then we'll stop from which is Tzoas Hachotem. So the Shulchan Aruch over here, again, based off Shari Dura, also mentions that you have to clean yourself off from Tzoas Hachotem. And it sounds like from the Shach, that's also not Ma'akev, because the Shach writes over here, Kol Ze'eno Ma'akev B'diavet. And that's the diuk made by the Sidrei Tara as well. In other words, even though you could have been Mechalek. Now, we already saw earlier, the Ramah Mipana, we saw quoted in Rabbi Akiva Eger earlier, that when we talk about Tzoas Hachotem, we're not worried about the Tzoas Hachotem that's deep inside the nose, right there, if you remember, at three different levels. If it's Balua, you don't have to worry. And even if it's not so deep in that we would consider it Balua, but it's still Beis Hastarim. But generally speaking, a person is not makbid that their nose be clean. One reason why it might not be makbid is because you're not makbid, or because it's not balua, or because it's rafui, it doesn't really prevent water from getting underneath it, or because of Rav Moshe. All these are possibilities why it's not ma'akev. So what should you do? So, l'chatchila, again, she should blow her nose before going to the mikvah, but you don't have to drive yourself crazy, and like the Shach says, it's not ma'akev. The Badi HaShulchan writes that maybe if you have tzoa b'sfas hachotem, then you should be machmir b'diaved, meaning to say at the very bottom of your nose, sort of what might be visible from the outside, because that is not balua and is potentially makbid. Some people might be makbid about that. So it could be, even though the Shach says it's not ma'akev, again, it could be, the Badi HaShulchan says, possibly, it's not sure, possibly, that the tzoa that's at the very bottom of your nose is ma'akev. You should also, by the way, clean her ears as well as blow her nose. But again, these are the things that a person does not have to drive themselves crazy with. Yes?
I know I have this problem. My nose gets scabs in the winter because of the irritant. So what would we say about that in terms of what part of the nose? Yeah, that part is not good.
No, you're not makbid about it. I mean, we talked about scabs a lot, right? Pashta scabs shouldn't be makbid either unless you're makbid to remove them. Are you makbid to remove those scabs?
Yes, they're painful.
It would be hard to soak those scabs, right? That's an interesting shaila. So, if they're deep in, we would say they're balua. If they're lower and you're makbid and you can't soak them, that's an interesting shaila. One would have to look into such a shaila, what to do in that case. Again, if you could get them off easily, so we would say take them off easily. And probably if you can't get them off easily, you're not makbid. And again, we are a little more mako when it comes to Beis Hastarim, because it's a single derabanan and maybe even a double derabanan. But I could hear why, I guess, in certain unique cases, scabs in the nose could be a problem. So one would have to be mevarer exactly what they are. Yeah.
But what happens if someone holds her nose when she goes
to the water? Well, I think you'd be afraid that she's holding it too tight. That would be like Arthur says, so we would not want her to hold her nose. We would say, I don't know, she holds her nose from the outside, you're saying?
Yeah.
So I guess we would say that Mikar Hadin would probably be Makel if it was either Rafoy or Mayim, it was wet first, but we saw the Shach doesn't like to rely on Rafoy. Right, because we're afraid she's going to do it too tight in the air. We would be afraid she's doing it too tight because that's why she's holding her nose. So, again, we would certainly discourage it. If she felt compelled to hold her nose, I suppose you could be mako if it was wet, as you wet your hands beforehand. Ideally, you would try to do that underwater, but that wouldn't work because the whole purpose is to hold her nose, right? So if you had a woman that was unwilling to go into the mikveh without holding her nose, again, this is not lemaisa, but I would suppose if her hand was wet, that would be okay, according to Rav Moshe, because in terms of the chatzitza between her hand and her nose, the wetness would work. Okay, it wouldn't work l'chol adeus, but yesh makom l'hakel. And in terms of inside and the squeezing, so then you could rely on Rav Moshe. As long as it's not, in other words, anything that was not base astarim, so you have to make sure to wet. And anything that is base astarim, so according to Rav Moshe, that would be okay. For all the things we accept Rav Moshe. So, but again, I don't think you should ideally do that. Okay, Be'ezras Hashem, next time we just have a little bit left in Kuf Tzadi Ches. It will take us hopefully just a couple minutes. And we'll move on to Kuf Tzadi Tes. Kuf Tzadi Tes is much shorter. It still will be a couple of shiurim. Resh is then very short. Maybe we'll have a Bechina before Purim. But certainly before, by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that means that, You should start Chazara by middle of next week, let's say. Okay?
Resh
takes very quickly. You'll do Resh in a day. I would say. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know exactly how long Kuf Tzadi Tes is going to take. I can't tell you.